Hello, 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 and welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. It is 2020, and we are feeling refreshed. We're feeling like new moms. We're feeling like we, you know, fold laundry as soon as we do it. We're cooking dinner every other night. You know, we making things happen. And welcome to the Mommy Files of a New Black Mom, and I appreciate you coming back and listening to this show that Lord knows is just what you need. You ain't know I was gonna go that way, right. But no, it's a show that I love, and I do it out of passion, out of love, out of just my own craziness. And as inconsistent as it is, I be here. I be trying. So this week's episode, we're gonna discuss keeping your kids active. And the reason we discuss keeping your kids active is because a lot of times as parents, we find ourselves in a position where we get stuck on what to do with loose kids. It's like loose change. I promise you that, right? So what I mean by loose kids, kids who are not in a sport, kids who are not in an activity, kids who are not doing something. And it's so funny because my daughter's not even 2 and I'm already like, I need her to do things. I want her to go places. I want her to just thrive. And my biggest thing is keeping my children in activities that will help them down the road. It's nothing worse than kids that get to high school and have no extracurricular or don't have any talent. A lot of times you don't know your talent until you literally try something new. What I mean by that? Literally, I am the type of person that I did almost everything my parents asked of me as far as doing extracurricular activities. So I did jazz, ballet, tap. I did volleyball for a while. I did cheerleading for a long while. I did shot put for the relay games. Like, I did a lot of random things. I was in Girl Scouts. I joined a sorority. Any activity my parents could find that would get me from point A to point B, my mom was like, do it. One, because when you have nothing to do, you have mischievous children. I don't care what you want to talk about. Like, my nephew, I literally call him the All-American. He plays soccer in the spring, basketball in the winter, literally is in like any after school activity they could do. So any kind of like classroom activities, after class, whatever, he's like in it. And it's so funny because I'm like, as parents, you feel almost obligated to keep your children active for the 3.5, maybe 4 hours between school and bedtime. You're like, I need you to do things. Or even on that Saturday morning, you rather you have to get up and go buy juice boxes for 28 little brats that are not yours than to have your kids sitting in the house eating cereal, watching cartoons. As per usual, I feel like the activities that we give our children have to be worth it. My oldest went to this really amazing almost STEM-based summer camp that was free. Literally, her school put it out there like, oh, you know, this local university, it does a summer camp every year for ongoing 7th and 8th graders, and it's math-based and it's science-based, and, if you know, they will find a way to, you know, use it so that your kids will benefit from this. So the crazier part about it was no one really talked about it. And I was like, wow, I've never heard of this. And I don't know anyone else talking about it. And literally, my daughter got in and she thrived and she blossomed. And it was amazing. Like, she got all these awards and accolades. And me and her father were in that audience screaming like she won a Grammy. Because we saw her change and blossoming and want and do. It was amazing. It was amazing for multiple reasons. But we kept her active. Same thing with the youngest. She's in dance. She does after school program. Like, sometimes the things that you want from your children is for them to never feel like they don't have anything to do. When you have idle time, you make bad decisions. But yeah, like, my daughter's not even 2 and I'm like, what can I put her in? And one of my employees, she's a cheerleading coach, and she's like, I can't wait to put your daughter in cheer. And she was like, matter of fact, we're doing an extra class and I want her to do it, and then she'll learn tumbling and she'll learn this and she'll learn that. And I'm like, bet. Because as a mom, you feel almost accomplished when your kids are doing things where you sell tickets to, and you get your family to come down and visit, and all types of activities where you get to root them on. That's my kind of style. Absolutely, 110% my style. And I laugh a little bit because a lot of times I personally wish I did more as a kid at some point, because I'm like, maybe I should have taken on that extra activity or did that extra class or joined that extra club or took the time to maybe go and do. But I also know my parents both worked serious ass full-time jobs, and they still made time for the one little thing I did and the two or three little things my both my brothers did growing up. And it was very, you know, hard to balance, but they always made sure they were there, whether it was me playing a recorder, me singing in the choir, me throwing a shot put, or me cheering at a game. The upside to it is when you have children in this position, while they're young, you learn their strengths and weaknesses. If you see that your kid is musically inclined, put him in a dance class, put him in a singing class, put him in an acting class, put him in an improv class, put him in something, put him in a choir. Join things that put these kids in some place so they're not making bad decisions in other places. And when it comes to picking activities, three key points. 333, 333, three key points. Pick an activity that will not take up every day. The worst idea you can do is give your kids a job other than school. And one of the things I learned from my own experience is my parents wanted me to do stuff, but as soon as it became a hindrance to my education, my grades, my behavior, it slowly became less of a priority. The biggest thing you can do is teach your kids how to prioritize their time. So if you give them an activity, give them the activity. If they're supposed to, you know, join a club, let it be a 3-day out the week club. Let it be something that every other day they get to enjoy, maybe see those friends and go to this place or do this activity, and give their time, give them time to have rest, to recuperate, and to bounce back. As soon as you train your children into a 7-day a week schedule of class, work, then you have daycare or, dance class or volleyball or soccer until, you know, 8 o'clock, and then you go home and have to rush to eat, shower, and go to bed. Your kids, unless they're at a point of at least somewhat high school where they really make decisions on what their choice activities are, push them to do small tasks. And the small tasks need to be worth it. Don't force yourself into these spots of as parents, especially because one thing I learned, you don't want to be the chaperone that's driving everybody around. So when you got 38 activities, think about this all day long. You getting off work of your 8 to 10, maybe even 12 hour shift to then go spend 4 to 6 hours somewhere else. Like, nobody wants that. Nobody. Nobody wants to have to start a task, to end a task, to go to a task, to flip the task, to do this. Nobody. You will burn your old self out on a second job you did not plan on taking because you wanted so badly for your child to find something to do. And now you done found yourself something to do. Now, if you're co-parenting or you got, you know, dad and mom are sharing a home and we're together and we're loving and you have the balance of trade-off, amazing. Love it. But also think your husband, your wife, your significant other, your partner, they are not going to try to spend, again, after a 10, 12, maybe sometimes 14-hour shift to have to then go pick up, drop off, stay late. You got to be considerate. And I always say, at least if you do it 3 days out the week, you do one day, I do the other, maybe on Saturday we go together. Boom. Nobody's dying. Now, upside, if you have an activity that has pick up and drop off, take advantage. You yourself might think this is not, you know, a great idea. I myself know it is a good idea. Why? Because at the end of the day, if you do not put forth the best effort, you will fail miserably. And I personally know when it comes to setting a standard, it doesn't matter how it might seem where you're paying this little extra. My daughter, the baby, she gets picked up. And that's because I have to be to work at 7. So with me having to be to work at 7, she having to be to daycare by 9, I'd rather pay someone to come pick her up and drop her off so she's at daycare on time and I can make it to work on time than for me to have to jump, run, skip, hop, and do a lot of extra. Same thing with after school activities. If you're going to put them in a sport and they have an option where you have a mom who's like, hey, I'll be the, you know, the chaperone to pick up and drop off. Slide her $20 every week. Slide her $40 every week, depending on how often practice is. Give her a bottle of wine. Bitches love wine. But if you're going to do it, take advantage of whatever is going to make your life easier. And sometimes that's not being a parent that's picking up and dropping off. If you know there's a stay-at-home mom who doesn't mind, be like, hey, so how about this? If you're going to start picking them up and dropping them off, I don't mind. I'll put, you know, some money on the petrol. Because at the end of the day, you're benefiting and she's going to benefit. Because that extra little $20, $40 is probably not going to gas. It'll probably go to, you know, something she might really need that you don't even know. Tip number two. Pick an activity that your child can realistically thrive in. Now, this is not me being the mom who's going to say my kid is perfect. Far from it. I know her. We know each other. We're not going to lie. If you're going to pick a test, don't pick a test your child is going to fail at. Most kids are not cross-country runners. So if your child comes to you and you ain't never, ever, ever see your child run, do not let them persuade you into cross-country running. Oh, I'm going to go join cross-country and I'm going to go run for, you know, this 8K. No, we're not going to do that. No. We're not going to invest in that. If I've never seen my daughter draw, I'm not going to say, you know what you need? An art class. No. Whatever I see you personally pursuing, I will support. If you want to join volleyball and I see that you're really passionate, or you want to join drill team and you want to show me your steps, if you want to, you know, join cheerleading and you found, you know, a club that teaches you tumbling, show me that you're interested and put some passion behind it. If you really interested as much as you're interested in, you know, the latest gossip at school or the latest style in your hair, I will take you seriously. Now, when they're young, I say under 10, you as parents make best choices. You see what your kid might or may not be good. If you see they got good hand-eye coordination, maybe they might be a baseball player. Maybe they might be a basketball player. If you see that your kid is always doodling, say, okay, maybe we'll find an art class, see how creative they are. Maybe find somewhere they could draw, get a little finger painting going. Cool. Put them in something that stimulates so that whatever angle they're going, you can pursue it. If you see your kids are into technology, put them in a place where they're learning more about it and they can grow in a positive way. So we're back. And we're, you know, discussing to use your free time more wisely. And just tips on it. And I definitely feel as though when we're choosing things for our kids to do in their free time, it needs to be beneficial for both parents. And your kids are never too young to have something to do. My daughter is what? Oh my goodness, she's 16 months now. And I've been trying to figure out what I want her to do. Because she goes to daycare, she comes home. She goes to daycare, she comes home. She goes spends, you know, the weekends with her grandmother, or she spends the weekends with her aunt. And sometimes she goes to Jersey, so she gets to see her cousins. Like, she's well-rounded. And my biggest thing is finding time for her to do something more, not challenging, because I feel like your kids are already challenged. You may not think your kids are challenged, but school is a challenge. Especially my daughter, she gets, I don't want to call it special treatment, but because she's so little, she's in a very in-between time at her daycare. She's bigger than the infants, so she's not in the high chair. She doesn't need someone to hold her. She can walk. She can somewhat, you know, verbalize. And she's not quite where the toddlers are. Because, not even toddlers, but, like, my daycare went through a revamp. And this is something that's totally off topic, but I definitely want to bring it up. And it was such a change. And the change about it was my daycare, me and my husband loved. When we did the interview, we loved it. And the reason I said we loved in the past tense is because it had a great director. Well, she's still there. It has a great director. And she had two really amazing full-time teachers. And then her mom would come in and work part-time here and there. Now, the great thing about her mom was that she, you know, she came in when they had field trips, or she was kind of like that filler. And then she also had another girl volunteer come in as like an assistant, in a sense, because they had the baby babies, they had the in-betweens, and then the full-grown, you know, toddlers. And then she decided to bring in another daycare into her facility. And the other daycare was not as structured. Now, they've been open way longer, just not as structured. And what I mean by not as structured, when you look for a daycare, and we had a conversation about daycare, check my old episodes. Daycare is a very big deal when your kids are young because it's all in development. And I kind of learned that from my best friend because she had her daughter before me. And she was like, you know, she put her in one daycare because she knew the director personally. And then the director left that daycare. She was like, I had to find a new one. And she found another one with someone she loved. And my god, you know, my goddaughter was there up until she was six. And now she goes to aftercare with them. Now, she warned me, you know, when people come in, you got to be very specific on what you want your child around. And when she brought the other lady in, I had met her multiple times. So it wasn't some strange daycare. I knew the director. I knew a few of the teachers. But they came in only in a temporary sense because they were talking about collabing and opening a bigger facility. And it would be great for both of their businesses. Because when you are an entrepreneur, growth is the biggest thing that can happen. And in transition, their style of daycare did not match her style of daycare. And the reason I say her, because she was very specific on the type of child care, and my daughter was reflective of it. And when they came in, you know, things changed, and then we basically lost all of the teachers that I had become accustomed to. They hired some new teachers, some of their teachers jumped in, so they had a very mixed, blended daycare. That lasted all of maybe 3 or 4 months before she noticed it going downhill. One, a couple of her students dropped out, all of her teachers left, and now it's reflective in the kind of students that are left. And then she decided, you know, I'm gonna hire new teachers. And I was all down for it. And here's the thing, my husband is a hands-on dad, but he is not the everyday person who they saw. And he, you know, because of all the change, I wanted him to be abreast of it because, again, this is our child. His only issue was we brought new teachers in. He became accustomed to the new teachers, but he really wasn't a fan of the teachers from the other daycare. They didn't really speak. They kind of were very distant. They weren't very welcoming. They had a very different vibe than what we were used to with the childcare that we signed up for. And he was very expressive of it. And my husband is not a hold back kind of person. Everything we do, when it comes to my child, we discuss. And he, and the director noticed it. She was like, you know, is he unhappy? Is he upset about something? Because he's verbalizing it in a way where we're like, what's going on? And I had to tell her, like, he's definitely feeling some type of way because of all the change. And parents handle stuff differently. Me, because I saw, I was there more, I dropped her off more. Because literally, I would say 3 days out of the 5 days my daughter's in daycare, I drop her off. The other 2 days, she gets picked up. But I also pick her up 4 days out of the 5 days she was there. So me and my husband spent a very, you know, split time with our experience with the daycare. And he was like, I'm not very, you know, fond of the new teachers. I'm not fond of the new experience. And I verbalized it. Now, fast forward now, you know, the director has now become full-time again in the daycare and things have changed and they're trying to get back to that old thing. The difference is when you get to a point where parents notice stuff, you also try to get some type of stability. We need to know what's going on. I myself, I express differently than my husband, so people are used to communicating with me and not him, and he's not as pleasant all the time when it comes to him being upset about stuff, and his words will show it. And the reason I say, you know, daycare and us having this conversation is important is because when you're looking for something for your child, you want it to be consistent. Inconsistencies are the ways of problems, let's just say. And the reason I say the ways of problems, because everyone's style is different. Now, the two new teachers she brought had a very different outlook on things. One of the ladies was a lot older and came out of retirement in a sense to do it. And I feel like childcare is not for the old unless you already have something established. Because when you're coming into an already established place, you have a lot of ground to cover, let's just say. Then if I came into something I've already established, and I know what I'm getting myself into. And the other teacher, she was coming from a bigger facility where she was just assisting teaching versus fully responsible for her own thing. And so they both ended up leaving within a month time span. Now, what I will say, it definitely took a hit on the director, because she's just like, I cannot get it together, and I need to put my hand and my feet and my body back in this building to get what I want, whether it be the cleanliness, whether it be the education style. She just herself noticed. And that's what you want from someone who runs a daycare. Now, with my child picking up something to do after daycare, I wanted her to have some kind of activity, even if it was part-time, where she's active, something else is stimulating her, she has another activity, and she'll be able to fully commit to something where she's active. Because you don't want to wait till your kids are 8 years old to say, okay, we're going to put them in a sport. We're going to put them in an activity. You want to grasp their attention and see their likes and dislikes early on. So my youngest stepdaughter, she's going on 8. And she's in dance. Now, that's something that she enjoys, something she does part-time in her aftercare, and it's something that she has been doing for a while. Now, because of that, she's also involved in something that stimulates her. She's involved in something that takes up her time, so while her mom's at work, she can have an activity, but it gives her something to grasp on. When you are looking for activities, those are major keys you want to hit. You want to find something that alleviates time from you. So if you have to work late, if your schedule is non-cohesive to consistency, or if it's missing some type of structure, some type of activity can be super duper helpful, because now you know, okay, I want to give them something that has more structure than what I'm giving them. Even when your kids are older, you want structure to give them some kind of stability, and it helps them build friendships. The biggest issue is that people don't realize kids start developing friendships early on in life, whether it be short-term friends or long-term friends. You want them to start growing that bond with kids. And it was something I explained to one of the girls who I, you know, was friends with. She was like, well, you know, I want to put my kid in care, but it's expensive. I said, yeah, but what are you gaining by them sitting at home with a grandparent or a family member for 8 and 9 hours, where they're not interacting with other children, where they're not having an activity where they're learning, and you feel like putting Sesame Street on or Yo Gabba or whatever is giving them? They need to be interactive with other children so that you can actually grow. Structure and activities is what we do. If you don't give them structure and activities, your kids are going to have a hard awakening. And so will you, with them doing any extra activities. And I saw it firsthand with my nephew. Activities that give the children structure outside the home, but also challenge their comfort, is what you basically want to instill. That may seem really hard, but if you don't do something, you're going to be stuck with kids who don't really want anyone or anything else other than what they're used to. Whether that be they won't be friendly when other kids are involved, they don't know how to share. Like, you have all these factors, especially when you have young children growing up in a household solo. Like my nephew, who's, you know, 6 years old and is still learning about sharing and growing, because this is the first time he's been in daycare, because he's always been with his grandparents. We're going to take a quick break, and I will be back. Hello, hello, and welcome back. That was a quick break. And we're discussing things to keep your kids active. And in the wintertime, it's so hard. I feel like the summertime is super easy. I feel like in the wintertime, we find ourselves canoodling and finding reasons to stay in the house, especially kids. It's like my oldest, probably not, but for sure, it's definitely harder when your kids are not sitting in front of a TV or a tablet or a phone. And we are not a big phone household. One, especially with our oldest, she's definitely testing the lines of teenagehood in trying to explore things and be very curious. I'll use that word, curious. Whereas, like, my younger stepdaughter, she's definitely more interested in dancing. So everything for her is about a dance or someone dancing or music. And we have become so accustomed. And I say accustomed because I feel like it's something we've all enabled. And enabling sounds like a bad habit, but it definitely is. We enabled our children to become very crutch with technology. Whether it be to look up everything online inside of a book. I remember going to get an encyclopedia or a dictionary or a thesaurus, and I said something about a thesaurus, and my daughter was like, "A what?" I was like, "A thesaurus." And she's like, "I don't know what that is." I'm like, "A thesaurus is a book that has, you know, if you have a phrase, it gives you another word for those phrases. It's kind of like, you know, synonyms and antonyms." And she's just like, "Oh, okay, I guess I know what you're..." I'm like, "No, you don't." It's like if you say, you know, what's another word for, like, a place, a town, you know, a destination, like, things of that sort. And I find that kids who spend so much time at home, and not saying home is a bad place because I don't want you to feel like I'm saying always go out. But if you're home, what are we doing in these activities? And I feel like keeping kids active, whether it be, so we play Uno, we play Jenga, we definitely play the Wii. But we do it as a family. And the reason that I'm very pro all of those things is because a lot of times what ends up happening is we put our kids in that position to never feel like reading a book is too much. And I feel like reading a book is never too much. Reading a book is always an option. Reading a book is always the best thing. I myself enjoy more audible books. Excuse me. I love listening to podcasts. And podcasts for me are like better than radio. It's not super defined by politics. And a lot of times it gives me all the information I kind of want about certain things. And certain people's opinion I value. But activities like that. Like, music is the outlet for children. And I feel like whatever way we're going to feed into it or feed it, we need to support it. And I feel like sometimes as a parent, you feel torn between supporting a good habit or a bad habit, and you never know what it's going to be. You could support your kid doing dance, and then they learn some really provocative dance, and you're like, nope, never again, not gonna do that. But it's all about, what are we nurturing, and what are we, almost like a flower, what are we blossoming from our children? Because if we aren't giving them something to grow from, what are we giving them something to grow out of? I feel like I myself was always interested in outdoor activities, whereas my parents were like, "Do you really want to do that?" I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely. Always." And sometimes it's good to put them in an activity that has something to do with either family or friends. Like, I want my daughter to do cheerleading. I wanted my oldest to do cheerleading. I want her to do something that gives her a push to want to do something with friends that aren't just specific people. And I want her to kind of outgrow a small circle of just people who live in our block or people she knows from certain circles, because I'm teaching her about friendships. And when you do activities, friendships are the biggest thing you gain from it. I have friends I can call them friends since I was 10 and 11 years old because of one activity or another. Girls who I've known so long, and I'm like, how did we meet? Oh my God, Girl Scouts. Oh my God, cheerleading. Oh my God, this. Oh my goodness, that, you know? And sometimes they help you and motivate you to do better. One of the real reasons I love structured activities that schools give is because a lot of times they give them an educational incentive. You'll be able to get a scholarship. You'll be able to join a program. You'll be able to get out of school early. You'll be able to do extracurricular activities and be a part of the fun that happens, that's very limited in schools nowadays, because everybody, you know, wants to have fun. But it's like, what are we teaching our kids to have fun? If we don't give them an activity, we're not pushing them. And as parents, sometimes you have to guide that. And guiding an activity sometimes may not be easy because you have kids who are just non-responsive of
what you think is a great activity. Like, oh my God, you should do soccer. And kids are like, no, I don't want soccer. My dad was like, oh, you're tall for a girl. Your brothers play basketball. You should. I'm like, I'm not playing basketball. My hand-eye coordination is good, but no. And then I saw how hard my cousin went in playing basketball. And I was like, I do not have that passion. The money, maybe. Fame, maybe. But I do not. Mm-mm. And I saw cheerleading, and my mom was a cheerleader. And I had a couple, you know, cousins. My sister-in-law was a cheerleader. And I saw all these people, and I'm like, I would love that. And it was something I'm great at. It was something I enjoyed. Something that I took for myself and said, I want to do it. And when I went for it, I was not the best cheerleader ever. And I wasn't the best, you know, with any of, you know, the things I thought I was going to be great at. And I was like, I could do this. And having to learn a fundamental that made me, push me, forced me to grow and outgrow. And when I say outgrow, a lot of times people don't get what that means. You outgrow people when you do activities that don't put you in positions to just do nothing. And that's one of the reasons why I'm like, hey, you know, pushing my youngest to do cheerleading is because I'm like, I want her to get around other kids. I want her to be social. I want her to burn this energy she has so that when she goes and she does stuff, she's confident. I have always had this very open outlook on life when it came to having a public speaking kind of voice and direction that as an adult, a lot of times people take my assertiveness a different way, especially being a woman of color. I find that my assertiveness can come off in different, you know, different tones. And I learned that through cheerleading. Like, I can be super peppy and super happy. I can be super assertive, super aggressive. I can learn how to manage what needs for what I need. And it's the same thing when it comes to putting your kids in activities. If you're asserting yourself into their life as far as putting them into a position where, hey, they're learning something new, they're trying something different, they might even fail at it. And that's the other part of putting them in activities. If they fail, you have to teach them that, okay, everything's not a shoe that's going to fit. When you discover stuff that you like, sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. I myself knew basketball didn't work before I had to try out for it. I knew I liked volleyball. I knew that I liked cheerleading. I knew that I liked shot put. I knew I liked trying new things. But I also knew, being realistically me, what my strengths and weaknesses were. Everybody's not like that. So it becomes really hard because a lot of times we push our kids and then don't want them to fail. But failing is a part of growing. And I find that growing in whatever shape or form that may come is always something that kids need to become better humans. Because you're realizing the kids that we're developing now are going to be adults very, very fast. And I say that because I looked at myself not even 10 years ago and was like, you know, goals I set before I'm 30. I'll be 30 in November. And certain goals I had weren't just because I felt like my parents pushed them on me, but it was things that I saw and wanted for myself. So I found myself in a position where I'm like, what am I doing to push these goals? What am I doing to push my personal feelings and how I want to do things? And what am I doing to aid it? A lot of times our kids are like, I want to do cheerleading. Or my daughter is like, I want to do dance. I love dance. I'm like, so what are you doing to do dance? Because she had an opportunity to join school clubs and her principal saw that she had an interest. Her principal saw that she had, you know, specific wants and needs and was like, what are we doing to push it? And if you're not nurturing it, you're letting something die. It's as simple as that. And I want my child, in whatever shape or form they come to me, that if they want to try something, I'm going to say, try it. What's the worst that could happen? Or go for it. What's the worst that could happen? Because a lot of times, if you motivate them, that gives them that extra push that they may not have already thought for themselves, and they'll try it. But to sum it all up, to give the short version of a long story, it's a matter of fact of things. What are we doing as parents to give them better and to treat them better and to give them things to grow? And what are we doing that's almost hindering them? We as parents guide the experience. And that sounds very cliche-y, but if you're guiding the experience, you're guiding what they will and won't do. You're guiding where they will and won't go. And you're guiding what they can and can't see themselves growing into. Because sometimes a kid will fail and they'll go, I don't want to do this anymore. And I've learned through other parents, more parents with more children, parents with older children, are like, oh, my kid hated this, hated it, because they only saw the end result. They wanted to play, you know, a sport, and they didn't realize practices were 4 times a week and on Saturday morning. So when they wanted to sleep in and watch cartoons, they couldn't. Or when they wanted to just do nothing, they couldn't. And it was something they had to learn. Wasn't I'll do it when I want to kind of situation. It was, what am I going to do to make sure, if I want to be the best, what am I doing? So, long story short, what are we doing to enable, grow, and blossom our children? I appreciate you for listening, and I'll holler at you soon.